Good morning. Anybody tired from family fun night last night? I am. Got home at 11 after playing, I think my watch had 2 hours and 30 minutes of basketball. About 200 points. That's a lot. That's a lot of basketball. And so I'm a little sore, but I'm fine. Thank you for everybody that did come out last night. I thought we had a good time. I enjoy that. I enjoy just hanging out, being with our church family, building those relationships. It was a really good time in the Lord. We're going to continue our series today, and it's called Fivefold Ministry. And during this series, last week was the first part of this series. We looked at these verses in Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 7, and then we're going to go to verse 11. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul says, "To each one of you, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." And then he explains what this grace is in verse 13. He said, "To each one of us, grace, to Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." So what Paul is saying here is that Christ himself has given us this grace. He has apportioned or divided this grace to us. And what that grace is that he has called each believer, every person that is a follower of Jesus has been called to at least one of these five callings. They have been gifted in one of these five areas: apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And the purpose of being gifted in those areas is that we are to use our gifts that Christ has equipped us with to build up the body of Christ, so that we can reach unity in the faith and so that we can become mature. I wish the church would get a hold of this. I wish the church would realize God has gifted you and called you to serve in some way or another. And so during this series, what we are doing is we're going to cover each of these five callings and five giftings, five ways that God has gifted us to serve in the body of Christ. We're going to be talking about them in two ways. Number one, yes, every person has been called to at least one of these five. The blood flow hadn't got back to my head from playing basketball yesterday. Every person has been gifted to serve in at least one of these five areas, but also these five callings represent a way in which the church should function, or a purpose of the church. And so, who took their test online that we sent out? A few of you did. We sent out, it's called an APEST test. I just like saying that because it rhymes. APEST test. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. And then it's a test, and it's not always accurate. I heard some people saying, you know, I don't know why I got what I got. I don't know why this is what I got. It's not always accurate. And so, during this series, I want you to listen very carefully to see if you think that God has gifted you and called you in one of these areas, no matter what the test said, no matter what the quiz said. That was just used to kind of get us off a starting point. If you have not taken that test, I want to encourage you to take it before 5 p.m. this evening when we have our Sunday Bible study / sermon discussion group, because we're going to talk about what that test said, how we are gifted. Today, I am teaching on the first one listed here, and that is apostle. Just kind of remind you of what apostle means. Apostle means sent one. The French translation of this term actually picks up a little bit more what it means. It's an envoy. An envoy is a messenger or representative sent to someone else or somewhere else. And so an apostle is someone that has been sent to some new area to begin establishing God's kingdom in that area. I think a very common ministry or very common position that we think of that I believe takes someone that's gifted to be an apostle is a missionary. To be able to go to another country, especially these countries that have never heard the gospel, to go over there to these people that don't know Jesus and to start something from basically the ground up completely fresh, I believe it requires someone to have this calling on their life. It doesn't necessarily require, but I think they have this calling on their life. Church planners typically are gifted in this area. And I think entrepreneurs, people who can start a business, especially Christian businesses, are gifted in this area. So if apostle means sent one, who are we sent by? Jesus. Jesus sends us out to do the work of ministry. We see this clearly in the book of Acts. In fact, the book of Acts is called Acts of the Apostles. That's the official name. And so these are the Acts of the Apostles. And so the disciples who were followers of Jesus, who walked with Jesus, they themselves become apostles because they have been sent out. They were the sent ones by Jesus. They were sent by Jesus to Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so apostle nowadays is anyone who was sent by God, which technically we're all sent by God, sent by God to begin establishing the foundation for God to move in and through people in a new area. I like to think of apostles as that they are typically gifted at starting things from the ground up. Many people think, actually, this is actually probably one of the more debated of the five, many people think that the apostleship calling stopped in the book of Acts. I believe that is wrong, because I believe we are still living out the book of Acts today. The book of Acts is a story of the start of the church, and the church has not ended. Now, I'm not saying that we need to go in and add to the book of Acts, but I'm saying we're still living out the book of Acts today. The second reason why I think this calling is still appropriate for the church today is because of the word used for gave. When Scripture says there that Christ himself gave the apostles, that word has weight behind it. It basically means that he has gifted us with something. He has gave the church. He has equipped the church in such a way that we need this. And that word forgave means he's given it and it can never be taken away. Now, I'm not in no way saying that we should call people apostle blank. But I do believe people have this gift and this calling, and the church needs them to fulfill their calling so that we can become the mature expression of what God has called us to be. Out of all five of these, I believe this calling is the one that has been most neglected in the church, and I believe the church has suffered for it. So you will hear a little bit about that today. My top three are all about equal in the APS test, and then I see it lived out in my life as well. Apostles, prophet, and teacher are my top three. They're all roughly right there together. So I will be teaching those during this series. Based off what I have seen from the tests that I've seen, people sent me some of their tests. Based on what I've seen, people are not scoring very high on their apostle. Most people, apostle was actually their lowest. And so I know that this sermon might not be very relevant for you today, but just because you're not gifted in that area does not mean that you don't need to learn. Does not mean that you need to say, well, I'm not gifted in that area, so I don't even try doing those things. No. We're called to five and function. We're called I cannot talk today. We are called to function in all five of these ways as believers. And so just because you're naturally gifted maybe in one or two or three doesn't mean that you can just neglect the other two. You still got to work on the other two. So every sermon during this series is going to be applicable to you, so you still need to listen so that you can learn about the areas you need to grow in. During this series, we are going to use Jesus as our perfect example because he perfectly lived out all five of these callings. And he himself functioned in the way that the church is called to function. And so as we look at each one of these callings during this series, we're going to look at specific examples of how Jesus lived this out. Now, Jesus was certainly an apostle. Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle. Jesus is an apostle. Why was he an apostle? Who was he sent by? John 6:38. Jesus says, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. The Father, God the Father, sent Jesus onto the earth as his official representative to do his work. And so apostles are typically sent into a new territory to do the groundwork to establish a community that follows God, and Jesus did exactly that. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians 2:20, together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. This is where we got our church name from. Cornerstone means it's the beginning and ending stone. It's the one who starts everything. Jesus is the one who established the church, started the church, and started the movement that we are still a part of today. So I want to first start with this. I want to talk about five words that describe someone who have this apostleship calling on their life. The first word is this: visionary. Visionary. An apostle loves to cast vision. An apostle loves to dream big dreams. They typically look at a group, or they look at people, and they see potential. They see what God can do in and through us. They know that the church has called to be sent. And so they seek out God's leading on where God has sent them, their church, and then they cast that vision to God's people. What I think about for apostles is that they give the church direction. I was reading a book yesterday, a leadership book, and he was sharing in the book, and I already had it in my notes, about how so many churches have no direction. They don't know where they're heading. There's no vision that has been cast. There's no goal to aim for, no area to head towards. But Jesus, he cast vision. Can you imagine after the disciples caught a bunch of fish to the point that their boat is beginning to sink, Jesus tells them, come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. That's vision casting. I mean, I would have looked at him and said, okay, how am I going to fish for people? Better be some big hooks. Better get some food they like so they'll maybe attach on to it. But he's casting vision. He said, you are going to go out, and I'm going to make you fish for people. And then later on in his ministry, he said, go into all the world, not part of the world, all the world. He knows that he is sending his people out. So he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And then he says this, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He's casting vision, he's given direction, he's given a goal for the church to head towards, for his followers to head towards. The church needs people with the apostleship calling on their life to cast vision. Many churches have no direction. They have no goal to head towards. And therefore, they are just going through the day-to-day motions, and from what I can tell, they become complacent. They become inward focused. They don't remember that we have been sent, because the one that knows that they have been sent is not serving in the church the way they should be. They're not reminding the church of our sentness, that God has called us to go out into the world to make disciples. And so we need people who are going to remind the church that we are to go out, that we are sent. Reminding them that we have been sent will keep us moving. I think so many churches have become complacent. We become fine with just sitting back, going through the same old, same old. I'll be honest with you. I think some churches are content with seeing their church die, because they don't realize that their goal is not just to come in and sit in the church. Their goal that Jesus has given us is to make disciples. But they have changed their goal to where they just want things to stay the same. When a church no longer is sent, they become a social club. And unfortunately, we have a lot of social clubs in Randolph County. And I believe because the apostleship gift or calling has been suppressed in the church has forgot that we are sent. Here's our vision, our goal, to build the foundation for a move of God in southern Randolph County and beyond. We have it on the wall over there. That was the initial vision that God gave me. A few years later, he clarified it even more. Our vision is to create a local network of healthy, missional, rural churches. What does that require? That requires our church to multiply. Before our church can plant another church, guess what? Our disciples have to multiply. We need people who are making disciples who make disciples who make disciples so that we can send 20 people out to another town similar to Seagrove to plant another cornerstone there and to plant another cornerstone over here. And for us to work together and support one another as we strive to build the foundation for God to move in this area. That's our vision. That's our goal. That's what we're heading towards. That's the vision that God has given me. And so that means that we never can just sit back and become complacent with where we are at. Become content with where we are at because we're not there yet. And then when we get there, guess what? It's not going to end. We're going to continue to multiply, multiply, multiply. And I guarantee you God will give me another vision. And we'll keep moving forward. So we need people who have this calling in their life to be visionaries. We need them to cast vision to the church to remind the church of this sentness. But number two, they are also pioneers. Not only do they cast vision, not only do they tell the people the direction they need to head in, but they lead them in that direction. They're one of the first ones on the ground. A pioneer is someone who goes first into a new area or territory. And so an apostle, yes, they're going to cast that vision, but they're also going to lead their people by setting the example for them. They're going to be the first to run into the fire. They're going to be the first to move to the new town. They're going to be the first to do that work. And so a pioneer, you think about the pioneers of America, laid the foundation. I think there's a show, something about pioneers. That's something I've watched about pioneers of America. They have laid the foundation for our country. People who have this calling, they're a pioneer because they are heading first into the new territory and they're helping laying the foundation for something to be built on later. They're setting up what that church is going to look like or that ministry is going to look like 10, 15, 20 years down the road. They're setting up the core values. They're setting up the DNA of the church. They're getting the church or the ministry off the ground, up and running. And so an apostle goes with this pioneer. They will build things from the ground up. And typically there's this creative sense to them. Jesus is described as a pioneer in Hebrews, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So Jesus was the pioneer of our faith. What does that mean? It means he ran it first. It means he was the first one to live out our faith perfectly. And so the vision that Jesus was casting, the vision of making disciples, the vision of preaching the gospel, the vision of bringing the kingdom of God down to earth, Jesus did. He set the example for us. He is our pioneer and perfecter, and we are called to follow him. And the church needs apostles who are going to lead the charge as pioneers today. A lot of people with this calling will go and be a pioneer. They will plant a church. They will go overseas as missionaries. They will start up a new business or ministry. They'll step out and they'll take risk. Actually, the book that I'm taking some of this from says that apostles are typically less risk adverse than other people. They're more willing to take risks than other people. Now, not everyone who has this calling has to start a church, start a ministry, be a missionary, start a business, no. But when we plant a church one day, I think those that are called to be apostles, they're going to say, I'll go. Because they want to be a pioneer. They want to help lay the groundwork. They want to help get that church up and moving, up and started. One of our assistant pastors, when we first started, I about guarantee you that apostle is his number one or number two gifting. Because I saw that he created his own ministry, he created his own things, and I believe he had this calling on his life. And actually, at the end of the first year, he went and started his own thing, which only solidified that belief that that was his calling on me. I remember our district superintendent telling me, he says, sometimes the pioneers that plant with you go and pioneer themselves, and that's okay, because that's the calling they have on their life. And so we have people that have this calling, and in fact, many churches that plant another church, they call the people that are willing to go, they call them pioneers. That's kind of their terminology. They said, we need pioneers to go plant this church. We need pioneers to go to this area to bring the gospel to this area. And so without apostles being pioneers, I think what happens is the church will never move into new territory. And what have we seen in the last, 50 years? Right. Satan's territory has continued to expand. Yeah. I remember when we started this church, I could hear people saying, another church in Randolph County? Another church in Seagrove? Like we need another church. Listen, until the 27,000 to 37,000 people are reached, we need another church. Until we depopulate Satan's zip code, we need another church. And so we need to continue to plant churches, continue to be pioneers, continue to move to new territories. And so an apostle is going to remind the church to always be moving forward. And we'll be a part of that moving of the church forward. Number three, the apostles are organizers. They're typically good and gifted at seeing the church as a living, breathing organism that needs to be organized in such a way that enables it to function at its highest ability, highest capacity. Apostles see the church on a large scale. They're big picture thinkers. They're good at like saying, okay, I know that they're gifted with this, and they're gifted with this, and they're gifted with this, so let's put them in this ministry, put them in this ministry, and put them in this ministry. They're going to organize people to serve together. In some ways, apostles are the one that brings unity to the structure of the church. While there's diversity in our gifts, we are called to serve together. And apostles typically good at seeing, all right, how can we bring all this into one big group so that we can serve God together? They're good at organizing, and they bring clarity to how the church should operate, and they enable it to operate at a high level. Jesus did this in Luke chapter 10, verse 1. He sent his disciples out, and we're told this. The Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. If I had to bet, I bet Jesus didn't say, okay, whoever you want to take, take them. I bet Jesus knew exactly where they were gifted. And so he would put someone that maybe had the apostle, prophet, evangelist gifting, those three giftings, he put them with someone that was a good shepherd teacher. Put them together. That's a good ministry team right there. I guarantee you that he knew where they were gifted, and where one of them was weak, he brought the other one in. That's kind of what I view my job here at Cornerstone as. Like I love doing that, finding out where people are strong, knowing where they're weak, bringing two people together to go send them out to do ministry. When we plant another church one day, because I know it's going to happen because God said it would, when we plant another church one day, this is the vision God has given me, is to send out two pastors, actually, to have two pastors at these churches. And so where one pastor might be strong and the other one is weak, they come together. And so that they can support one another, and so that they are helping that church operate at its fullest capacity, fullest ability possible. There are so many churches who are not organized today. Common saying, 20% of the people do 80% of the work in most churches. I think that's because we don't have an apostle to organize. We don't have an apostle to bring organization to the church. And so think of a church like a body. What would happen if only 20% of your body did 80% of the work? Imagine walking on one leg and only using one arm. That leg and that arm is going to get worn out. How many people get worn out and burn out in churches? Because 20% of the people is doing 80% of the work, because a lot of people think that they just come in here and sit and be fine. And we know that the apostle reminds us of our sentness, and then they're typically good at casting vision to people. And that also goes along with individuals. Like, you can see a calling within an individual, and you can cast vision to them about what God is wanting to do in their life. So I'm convinced that because we have suppressed the apostleship calling in the church, we have very few people actually living out their calling and serving the church how God has gifted them. We need the church. We need everybody. When I say everybody, I mean everybody serving where God has gifted them. So apostles are going to be good at organizing the church in such a way where many people are playing the role in the day-to-day ministries of the church. For me, what I try to do is I try to find out where people are gifted. Then I put them in situations to allow that gift to thrive. For example, my mom's in here today. My mom's great with kids. So she is in kids basically 3 or 4 Sundays a month, because she lets me have it if I take her out more than that. That's the truth. I mean, she says, "Are you taking me out another week?" Okay, Mom. Andrea with outreach. David. David with greeting. He's great at greeting. Like I asked him to greet the second week he was here. I said, "Can you go greet for me?" And he's been greeting ever since. That's been like 5 years ago now. Because I saw that he's actually an introvert. He doesn't like talking to people, but he's great at it. I don't know. I'd be honest, I guessed on that one, and it worked out good. But even last night, like, I heard about someone who is willing to cook food for us and do things like that. I love identifying where people are gifted and then putting them in situations to allow that gift to thrive, because if everybody is serving where God has gifted them, then the church is going to be working at full capacity. Apostles typically help with that. But not only do apostles organize the church, but they're also developers. They're developers. They are going to do what they can do to make sure that each person of the church has what they need to thrive. Think of another word, equipper. They're going to make sure that we are equipping the church with whatever possible. Apostles are going to want to do everything possible to make sure that each person in the church can serve how God has gifted them to serve. And so apostles typically can see how God has gifted people, and then they come alive when they come alongside them to develop that gift. And then they help people discover God's vision for their life, and they walk alongside of them. They celebrate with them when they experience victories, and they mourn with them when they experience defeat. But they love developing people and enabling them to live out their God-given calling. I think we saw this in the same Luke chapter 10. Jesus sent the 72 out, and we're told in verses 17 through 19, the 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." And he replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." I think that's a celebration from Jesus. I think he is realizing that Satan has no chance when there is that army being mobilized to be sent out to do the work of ministry. So he's celebrating their victory that is because of him. He's celebrating that victory because he's seeing that Satan doesn't stand a chance. And then he says, "I have given you authority. I have equipped you to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." He's equipped them, and he's developed them to go out and do ministry work. And so we need people with this apostleship calling who are going to come alongside people and help them live out their God-given calling. I love doing this. I love coming alongside people and helping them write sermons, develop Bible studies, giving advice. I love seeing ministry lived out through other people and knowing that I played a small part in that. I love seeing people live out their God-given calling. I love helping develop other leaders. That makes me come alive. Christy Davis, many of you know Christy Davis. She's actually helping with kids at another church now full-time. And she was preaching at a church one day, and she asked me if I'd work with her on her sermon. And we sat down together and worked like an hour on her sermon. I taught her how to write a sermon, and she said, "Thank you for doing that." I said, "Christy, I love doing stuff like this. This is what makes me come alive. This is what I enjoy doing. Because I know that I'm going to be preaching here on Sunday morning. She's preaching somewhere else Sunday morning. Bernard preached somewhere else this morning. He walked in the back door, though. So he didn't preach very long, obviously. He preached somewhere else on this Sunday morning. We have people preaching other places, and I love knowing that my ministry, I'm playing a small part in an impact that's outside of Cornerstone, that's going other places. The church needs more leaders and more people serving where they are called. And I think maybe we have people serving where they are called because we have suppressed the apostleship calling in the church. So people don't know where they're called, they're not put where they're called, and they're not being developed where God has called them. And so I view a big part of my job and my calling as an apostle is to equip, empower, and develop others to do the work of ministry. And it excites me thinking about what that looks like if everyone is doing what God has called them to do. How powerful, how big of an impact could we have if everybody was doing what God has called them to do? Number five, guardian. Apostles are gifted at guarding the church from getting off track. That includes, mainly you're going to hear me talk about core values, but apostles are also concerned with the unity of the church, not quite as much as a shepherd would be, but apostles are concerned with the unity of the church, mainly that the church stays united around the mission. Apostles are going to make sure and guard, almost like guardrails. Think about guardrails. They're like guardrails to make sure the church stays on mission. Every church has a set of values, of core values, whether they know it or not. Some of those values are healthy, some of them are not. Apostles are going to help guard the church against the unhealthy values to ensure the church that does remain healthy. Here's examples just in my ministry here at Cornerstone where I was beginning to see before it happened how our values could have went unhealthy if we allowed what could have happened. So for example, when we got this building, for the first 2 years, our church didn't have a building. So our focus had to be on the people because there was no building to focus on. And so when we got this building, I remember telling our leaders, make sure that this building does not become our focus. Make sure the people remain our focus. Because that has what has gotten Cornerstone to where it is today. And that is what we have been called to do. We've not been called to make this building look nice. We've been called to make disciples. And so let's make sure that we don't get off focus by focusing on the building rather than the people. And so that was a value that I was trying to guard our church against from going towards. Beginning of the pandemic, our church has always taught our people not to just be consumers, but to be contributors, to contribute to the work of ministry that we are doing. And so when most churches, when we were having to cancel church services and people were going online, most churches went to Facebook Live. And I remember telling our leaders, I said, what are we communicating to our church if we're telling them just to sit at home and watch us? We're communicating them, number one, that during a crisis, the most important people in our church are the ones that are on the stage, which is absolutely not true. Number two, we're communicating that the only ones to do ministry are the ones that are on the camera. That's absolutely not true. And number three, we're telling them, you don't need to do anything, just watch us. And that the most important part of our gathering on Sunday morning is watching me and watching our worship team. That's not true. What is true is that the most important part of us gathering together is the fellowship of believers. That we are pushing one another. That we are pushing one another to grow in our walk with God. And so I told our church, I told our leaders, what are we communicating if we just go to Facebook Live? And what we were communicating is that it's okay to be a consumer. Now, I felt very strongly about this, and so that's why we did not go in the direction that other churches went. We went with Zoom so that we had this interaction between the church, so that we were talking to one another, interacting with one another. And you know what? When we came back to begin regathering, most churches had less than 50% of their church come back. In fact, I was hearing from a lot of churches, it was in the 30% range. And all I could think about, and I didn't say this to him, I said, what do you expect when you taught them that they could sit home in their pajamas and just watch you for a few months? They're going to keep doing that. Many of them still are. Our church had roughly 60% or greater come back. Our church was an outlier. And I believe it goes back to that core value. We're not consumers. We're contributors. And so we're going to ask you during a time of crisis to contribute to one another's faith. And that's exactly what we did. Everything we do, I at least think, what is this communicating to our church? Is there a purpose behind it? I think that's part of my calling as an apostle. Family Fun Day, that wasn't just to hang out and have fun. That was to build relationships that hopefully will become discipling relationships that will make disciples on Christ the cornerstone. That's our mission. And so everything we do, I always think, is there a purpose behind it? And so I think Jesus guarded his disciples and his movement from going off track. And so Peter tried to rebuke Jesus for saying Jesus would die on the cross. And Jesus gave a very strong response, Matthew 16, 23 through 25. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." See, Peter didn't want Jesus to sacrifice. But Jesus confronted that unhealthy value and then communicated the healthy one, that part of the movement that he was creating, part of the move of God that Jesus was a part of, was that we must be willing to sacrifice, that we must be willing to take up that cross daily. And so when Peter started to steer the other disciples off track, he sets an example, Jesus, as the perfect apostle, by saying, "Get behind me, Satan." This is not what our movement is going to be about. Jesus ensured that his movement would stay healthy so that it could operate at its fullest capacity, and we need apostles to help the church to remain healthy today. But because the apostleship calling has been suppressed, a lot of our churches have unhealthy values and unhealthy DNA. Many churches are no longer on mission and are just going through the motions. I think many church splits happen because of unhealthy DNA. I think many problems the churches face is because somewhere along the line, something or someone got into that church and caused that church to go off track. It could have been 10, 15 years ago. But an apostle normally can see a few steps ahead, can see the direction things are heading in if they continue to allow something unhealthy in. And so an apostle, they're going to guard the church from disunity and unhealthy values. And we need apostles who are going to help guard the church so that the church can remain healthy. Those that have the apostleship calling are needed in the church today. For a long time, I did not think I had this calling on my life. If you asked me in 2014 if I would ever plant a church, that I would thought that God had called me to be an apostle, that God had called me, gifted me in this way, and that I was going to plant a church in 2016, I would have said absolutely not. Now, this is how much I like stability. I don't even like going on vacation. I like staying at home. That is stable. That is, I like being at home. As a child, I wouldn't even go to my grandma's house to spend the night because I like stability. Church planning is not stable, I can tell you that. And so if you would have asked me then if God was going to call me to plant a church and that he had gifted me to be an apostle, I would have said absolutely not. Yet, the apostleship gift was in me as a child. I would play with my cousins every day. I didn't have brothers and sisters. Those were my brothers and sisters. I would have a vision of what our day should look like. Mom said I used to write out the plans about what our day was going to look like. And I would organize all of us together to play whatever I had envisioned. That was the apostleship gift already being developed in me as a child. So then 2014 came around, and I felt like God had called me to start a Saturday night ministry at Rushwood called Next. I realized I was using the same methods, same tools that I've used as a child. I was organizing a group of people for a purpose with a vision of what it was going to look like. I led it as a pioneer. I tried to create a culture at Next where we equipped, empowered, and developed people to live out their God-given calling. In fact, I was thinking as I was writing this sermon, we now have 4 people from that Saturday night ministry who are now ordained pastors ministering at churches today. One started leading worship at Next. That was the first time she ever led worship. And most recently, she was leading worship for a mega church in Chicago. I love knowing that our ministry had that type of impact that now it's even impacting people in Chicago through the life of other people. I'm thankful that God used me to help them fulfill their calling, and I tried my best during Next to protect our core identity, and eventually Next became Cornerstone. I had a vision of what Cornerstone Church should look like. I stepped out in faith and believing that God has called us to plant a church, and I didn't feel like I was gifted to plant a church, but I felt like God was calling me to do it, so I did it anyway. Our district superintendent at the time, I can remember the phone call. I was standing out in my parents' yard because we don't have cell phone service down there, and standing out in their yard, and I was talking to him. I said, I believe God has called me to plant a church in Seagrove. He said, okay. He said, you can go and get it started. I was thinking, you don't need to go through board approval or anything. He said, no, we'll just call it a mission and see how it goes. I was like, yeah, you don't think it's going to go. I mean, he didn't. If he had to be honest with us today, he would have fully expected it not to go, I believe. But I organized the team, and I've tried to build a culture here at this church about developing leaders. I'm very proud of the fact that next Friday is ordination for our district, and next Friday will be the 4th year in a row that our district has ordained a pastor who formerly or currently serves at Cornerstone. No other church can say that, I don't believe. That's a small little church. Here in Seagrove has played a role in 4 pastors being ordained. 2 of our former assistant pastors are serving as lead pastors of churches right now. And I have a relationship with them, a regular talking relationship with them. I've tried my best during this time to guard our core DNA, as the example I gave earlier. Yet, all the way up until probably 2017, I still didn't feel like God has called me to plant a church or to be an apostle, even though I'd already done it. And so the Wesleyan Church has something called Church Planner Assessment. Basically, you go for a 3-day interview, basically, process. I had a 10-hour interview. And I had to preach a 5-minute sermon, I had to cast vision in 5 minutes, and I had to plant a church, come up with a full church planning plan with a team. I had to be in a mock scenario in a coffee shop sharing the gospel with another pastor, and I was graded on all of it. That was, I've never been more nervous in my life, probably. And so I went to this, and here's if you want to know anything about me, it's in this notebook. I was actually reading through it earlier. Conclude that basically you have people grading you to see if God has gifted you to serve as a church planter. Because the Wesleyan Church don't want to throw $60,000 at a church that's going to fail in 2 years because the person wasn't called to do what they was wanting to do. And so they looked to see if you're called to be an apostle, if you're called to be a church planter. And so they came to the conclusion I was. In fact, they said, why is he in here if he's already planted a church? So maybe that's why they gave me a yes. But in this, they have all types of notes. They rated me on a scale of 1 to 4 on vision and capacity, motivation, creating an ownership of ministry, reaching the unchurched, spousal cooperation. By the way, Sarah got a perfect score. Now let me read what the counselor's notes. committed to church growth, effectively builds relationships, responsive to the community, utilizes the giftedness of others, they're flexible and adaptive, I can build a cohesive group, I'm resilient, and I exercise faith. I actually got a greater than a perfect score on exercises faith, which is interesting. I didn't realize that. And then they rated me, and they gave me pros and cons, things I need to work on, the counselor's notes, Sarah don't want me to read. This right here, which is funny because the evidence that God has shown me should have been enough, but this is what helped me to live out my calling even more. Knowing that this is how God has gifted me, knowing that this is how God has called me. And I pray, church, today that you will know that God has gifted you and called you in some way as well. And I pray that today that as we go through this series, that you will know that God wants to use you in amazing ways. That God wants to use you to serve his church and to build up his kingdom in Seagrove and beyond. And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm literally only halfway through my sermon. Not really. I don't have another 45 minutes. But I had a remaining 3 points. Here's what I'm going to do because I was going to do it anyway. I'm going to teach it to you tonight at 5 p.m. on Zoom. I will also post it on the Cornerstone group page, the remaining 3 points. The remaining 3 points is about how the church should function. And I'll just give you one word. The church is sent. The church is called to go out into the world. And so the apostleship calling reminds us that the church should function in such a way that we know we are sent to make disciples. The church is an apostolic body, called to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel. And so we'll go over that tonight at 5 p.m. I'll send out the link later. I do believe the church has suppressed apostles for too long, but I don't think that should happen any longer. I am thankful that our church has given me the freedom to let me serve in the role that I serve in, because I was in a church that did not allow this gift to thrive. I'm thankful that our church does. I'm thankful for what God has done, and I believe we are only seeing him getting started. If you are called to the apostleship calling and gifting, maybe you heard the message today and you think that's me, or you scored high on a test, I believe God wants to use you as well. I think the apostleship gifting or calling is a spark that the church needs today. They are people who can create something that can get a movement going through God's leading. We need pioneers. We need people who are willing to take risks. We need people who are going to move the church forward, knowing that God has called us to be sent.